There's a lot to cover today. Anything you want to add to your email from yesterday about what you wanted to talk about?
I mean, I guess I have one other unrelated question, which is about the structure of the program from here on out. Is it basically calls such as this every month where we kind of deal with different, you know, what's going on in my mind, or is there additional curriculum, so to speak, that we still haven't gotten through?
We've gotten through almost all of the curriculum. Let me look at my fair question, look at my folder. We haven't talked yet about the mastermind group.
Okay.
We haven't spent a lot of time on the five-star leadership model. I don't think we spent any time. But as far as the curriculum, those are the only two things that I see on my list.
Okay.
I know we've touched on COIs, but we haven't really drilled down on that. Now, that was part of the homework for this week, Abraham, for this month. So I think we'll get to that today. I'm not sure. The way these things usually go, and it's tough to say in general because everybody's a little different, but in general, it's about 50-50. I've got a group I coach in Chicago, and there are many times that I don't even get to my notes because there are things they want to talk about. So
gotcha.
The answer is it's about 50-50. I'll always have something to talk about, but I think it's most effective. That's not really right. I think it's effective when we start with the things that are on your top plate. But it's interesting.
Sure.
Some of the things that you mentioned in your email yesterday lined up almost exactly with the homework for this week, for this month. So
right.
I hope that answers your question.
It does. Absolutely, and I appreciate it.
All right. Before I get to the email, I want to give you an idea. And I got this idea from an FA in New York. We were talking about non-review month topics. And he said, I said, is this the month you talk to your clients about tax law selling, tax harvesting?
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was. And I said, are you even calling the people who don't have anything to do, with the thought being advisors have to take credit for what they do?
Right.
If you look at a client's account and there's nothing to do, it's still important that you call the client and tell them that you have done that work. Ms. Jones, just want to let you know, I went through your portfolio looking for any tax-saving transactions. I didn't see any, but I just wanted to let you know I've done the work. You understand that part. And I think we've touched on that. Here's what this guy does. Now, sometimes the way you say that previous statement, I don't see anything to do with in your portfolio for tax reasons, unless you have a transaction away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I always add that at the end just to make sure, you know, they haven't sold real estate or something. But here he takes it a step further and says, would you like for me to call your CPA and see if there's anything that he sees that might be important for us to do?
Interesting.
It is interesting. And here's I'm a CFP, but I don't use it as much as I used to when I was working. You can still apply capital losses against current income up to $3,000, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
So just to have a conversation, would you like for me to call your CPA and see if it makes sense for you to take losses that might reduce your income? You know how to say what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And you pick up, Abraham, that'd be really nice. Okay. You pick up the phone. My name's Abraham Horowitz. We have a common client. I was talking to her this month looking for if there was a reason to do tax selling. There isn't from my end, but he suggested I call you just to see if there's anything you're seeing that might figure into the equation. You get a chance to have a conversation with a CPA. They're not really busy this time of year. And, you know, here's an advisor calling them, and it just feels like a very professional conversation. So
I like that. That's a great idea.
I think it's an idea. You know, clients may say, Abraham, nah, there's no need for you to do that, but I really appreciate you thinking about it. It strengthens your brand and possibly remember the when we talked, and I'm looking at my outline here. We talked back the first time on June 28th about the enthusiastically endorsed question, getting in front of clients' CPAs by asking, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Here's another way to do that on a specific, you know, you've got really something to talk specifically about.
Right. I do. And I like it because I don't even call the nothing to doers. I just focus on the ones where there's something to do typically. So that's an order of improvement by two orders of magnitude over what I've been doing.
Yeah. You've got to take a lot of advisors are reluctant to take, not brag on themselves, but just let clients, a lot of what you do for clients, they never know about.
Right.
Ms. Jones, Abraham, you're really nice to do that. I really appreciate how you take care of me. Maybe an opportunity for a conversation. Well, thank
you. I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you think that should be a topic for the November calls, or should that be a separate phone call?
No, that's a topic for November call.
Okay. Okay, good.
All right.
Okay, great.
All right. You mentioned in your email planning, your goal was to have 12 started by the end of the year and be at 100% by June of 2018. Just give me an update on where you are versus those goals.
You know, I'll break out. I'll have to go back to the spreadsheet and update it, and then I'll get you that information because I can't tell you offhand. Part of the problem is that, you know, I haven't been 100% faithful in terms of maintaining the Supernova spreadsheet as to where each client is in the process. So I will do that and let you know. But it feels like, for what that's worth, like I've made, you know, I'm doing pretty well on that.
All right.
And I will say, it's becoming clear that 100% financial plans is just not realistic. I mean,
I agree.
I
agree.
So I'm not committing to that.
Well, here's the way that I presented it to you. I assume I presented it this way, Abraham, because I do it with everybody. The goal is 100%, knowing that not everybody is going to do a plan.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know, you've got somebody who's, you know, 85 years old. And,
right.
And they probably don't need a plan or are not
right.
capable of doing a plan. But what you do have to look at with people like that, you know, and again, I'm assuming they're still have their ability to make decisions, is to make sure that their will is up to date. Make sure
right.
they're, you know, you don't have to do a formal plan to be involved with planning.
Right.
So, clearly. You know, simple question is, are you sure your estate's going to go where you want it to go when that day comes? But you're right. There are some people, if you came out to their house and dug out all the information, they still wouldn't do it. So it's 100% understanding that there are some people who will never do a plan. That doesn't mean that you don't
– right.
You don't take care of the components that might be valuable to them.
I got a guy out in California who just buys syndicate, and, you know, he's generated 30 or 40 grand worth of commissions, and it keeps growing, and he doesn't want financial planning. You know, he doesn't really want to even get into anything other than just syndicate, but I'm happy to have him as a client.
Sure.
You know?
He's
not
really
Supernova appropriate. Although I've tried, anyway.
Yeah, you know your practice better than I do.
Yeah.
You're always going to have outliers, but you can't make decisions on the outliers.
Exactly.
Make the decision based on your practice. So,
right.
You know, that guy would, in that planning matrix that you just said you weren't being faithful to that person you just talked about who buys syndicate. He's in that category three. You've talked to him, and he mm-hmm. said no. But
exactly.
Still, you know where he is.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Do you have any success stories yet from the planning that you've done?
Not really.
All right. Have you
what do you mean by a success story?
Pardon?
What do you mean by a success story?
Oh, found more assets. Were able to get involved in estate planning. It strengthened the relationship. You got a referral.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. In that respect, I thought we were. I guess I was thinking, like, you know, did it uncover that account at Merrill Lynch they never told me about, or, you know, lead to a monster, you know, second to die policy? That has not happened, but for sure I do. You know, the real big win was, you know, this new couple that I brought in recently, and, you know, prospected, you know, like you guys said, prospected around the, I focused very heavily on the service model in the initial meeting. By the end of the meeting, she was asking if I would take her on as a client, even though she's a little shy of the asset, my asset minimum. And gladly did take her on and did a financial plan for her and delivered it last Friday, and they were knocked out. She was blown away. That also led to an immediate referral, which I do have a question about how to follow up on with respect to that.
Okay. And that was in your email. Why do you think that that she loved the plan and gave you a referral? What is it that brought her to that point?
Well, a couple of things. You know, when in the initial meeting, she told me that, you know, they were talking to their friends, and, you know, one couple, Bill and Betty or whomever, asking all their friends, hey, do you have a great financial advisor? And she relayed that one of their friends said, well, no, and we're about to leave ours because, you know, he never pays any attention to us. So if you find one, let us know. And, you know, I didn't really, like, try and, you know, beat him up for the phone number at that point in time because, you know, it seemed a little, you know, premature. Just tucked it, you know, made a note of it, tucked it away, and made it a goal that, you know, I'm going to have them tell me that they're going to talk to, you know, Betty and Bill about me because they're knocked out by the onboarding process. And, you know, long story short, I was able to put together, I knew this lady was real detail-oriented. She's a project manager for a construction company, and I was able to put together a really great financial plan that dealt with multiple investment properties and, you know, two different scenarios. And I knew she was real detail-oriented, so I included the table that shows their cash flow and outflow every single year in retirement. So, I mean, I knew exactly where every number came from, and it really went over well because she was, you know, really happy with the attention to detail and the quality of the work, but also loved the, you know, the fact, you know, that that's the service model and that we already scheduled the you know, her monthly conference calls. And, you know, she commented that, you know, I haven't heard from my guy at Ameriprise in 2 years. So I'm not sure if I'm completely answering your question, but I think that's why she was so knocked out by it.
Okay. I'll go back to something we talked about. I don't know if it was that introductory call from Lexington, mm-hmm. Kentucky, or our first scheduled call, but you said that I want a practice I can be proud of.
And that has happened.
Okay. You are offering something that is special. I know that because being in the industry for as long as I was, plus the people that I coach, seeing what kind of contact system they have when they come to us, that you have a special practice. You have earned the right to start referral conversations. If you don't feel you have something different, which may have been partially true when you and I started, Abraham, it's harder to ask for referrals when you don't think you have something that is different.
Right.
You're to that point. So let's go back and talk about in the email you mentioned about how quickly do you follow up? Well, I think there's a more basic question. When this lady gave you, did she give you this couple's name, or did she just refer to them in general?
So the way we left it was at the end of the meeting on Friday, this past Friday. You know, she put out, you know, towards the end of the meeting, you know, I'm definitely going to talk to Bill and Betty about you, and you know, we're seeing them this weekend. And so, you know, as I'm talking, I realize what the answer to this question is, because, you know, I suggested that if they're open to talking to me, would you please ask them if it would be okay if I gave them a call? Because in my experience, even, you know, folks who intend to call me, they, you know, just get put on the back burner, and when I do call, they really appreciate that. And she said, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it would certainly make sense to circle back to this lady and say, hey, you know, I hope you had a good weekend. Did you get a chance to talk to Bill and Betty? Is all right if I gave them a call?
Okay. Here's the part that I think you're missing.
Okay.
Remember when we talked about the VPSA conversation, that last part, the A stood for advice.
Yeah.
So when you say, okay, is there anyone else that you that would appreciate the same type of planning that I'd done, and they say, well, yes, our friends, you ask for advice. Terrific. I'd love to talk with them. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them?
I haven't been doing VPSA regularly or probably at all. I did it once, because it still doesn't feel like natural yet to me. But I am committed to working on it to the point where it does.
Well, let me come back to that. So, again, all I know about this conversation, what's this new client's first name?
Diane.
Diane?
Diane, yeah.
Diane says, I'm going to talk to my friends, or you need to talk to our friends. And she tells you the story of looking around for a good advisor, and here's what I want you to always be ready to say when it's appropriate: Diane, that's terrific. I would love to talk to them. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them?
I like that.
Yeah. See, what you told me before sounded a little defensive.
What do you mean?
You know, when you said, "Well, if it's okay with them, could I call them?" And that's. And there's nothing wrong with it, but I want to cut to the chase.
Okay.
You're not looking for names.
Mm-hmm.
What
right.
you really want is favorable introductions.
Absolutely.
That's what puts you together. So Diane says, you really need to talk to our friends. Your response is, terrific, I would love to do that. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them?
You know, that's a great point, because I think part of my hesitation around this process has been that in the past I've worked with other referral types of systems that essentially you got a name out of one client, and then you called that person kind of out of the blue, and just because, you know, hey, Rob, Abraham Horwitz from Morgan Stanley, Joe Schmo gave me your name. He thought it would benefit from us meeting or something like that. And then, you know, you're typically surprised and not expecting the call and say, oh, I already have an advisor. Thanks for calling.
That's not a lot better than a cold call. A little bit.
Not really.
Feels better because the FA thinks it's a warm call. But from the client's point of view, Abraham, that's pretty much a cold call. So
yeah.
So you say, terrific, I'd love to talk with them. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them? And then you shut up.
Okay. I like that.
And they could say, well, you know, we're meeting to go to to play golf Wednesday. Why don't you have lunch with us? Why don't we get together for coffee? Whatever. I just know that Diane knows better how to get in front of that couple than you do.
For
so,
sure.
And she ultimately may say, "Well, I'd just be more comfortable talking to them first." And you're not going to twist her arm. But you were going to get there anyway. Asking that question, if you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them, just gives you an opportunity to get in front of them more quickly, and it's a favorable introduction.
And so, is the idea, and maybe this is a silly question, but is the idea not necessarily to have Diane call Betty and, you know, hey, Betty, Abe's going to call you, he's a great guy, blah, blah, blah. Is the preferable outcome to be like we all, you know, meet for drinks on Friday or, you know, they're going to have, you know, whatever, and why don't you come and join us? They'd actually arrange an in-person meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, somebody gives you a referral, and you say, "Gosh, I'd love to get in front. Thank you very much. If you were me, how would you go about get in front of him?" And maybe he says, "Well, you know, he and I have coffee at Starbucks every Thursday morning just to discuss what's going on in our week and has gone on in our week. Why don't you join us?"
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Or, you know, why don't we have lunch or whatever? Yeah, that's exactly what you want to have happen. You ask confidently.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You've got something to sell. What a lot of FAs do when they start this referral discussion is, "Well, Diane, I know I've never asked you this before. I hope I don't hurt your feelings. I hope I blah 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 blah." It's weak.
Mealy mouth bullshit.
Yeah, it is. You don't have any confidence. It doesn't sound confident. So you
like
got
you're
a great,
doing me a favor.
They've just complimented you on something. You know, you've told me she's detail oriented. You've given her a great financial plan. All the things she wanted to get into your practice. All of these things. She really likes you. She'll like you better a year from now. So when she brings these, see the difference is when you ask that client a referral question, something along the lines of, "Well, just do you know anybody else I should be talking to?" There's not many. I don't like that at all.
Right.
But when you're following up on when a client is giving you a refer, they're referring to you, or you're getting you're starting a referral conversation. You just ask confidently. "Gosh, I'd really love to talk to them. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them?" You ask confidently. You're showing it's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to your email, I'll answer your email now. But the real answer is when you have an opportunity, when you get a referral in a situation like we're talking about, the first thing out of your mouth was, "Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them?" And then you shut up. Well,
yeah,
nothing really comes to mind right now. Well, terrific. Let me know. I'm never too busy to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you or your friends or whatever. Got it? Now.
I do.
So now.
Well, can I ask you another question about that?
Say it again?
Yeah, I do have a follow-up question on that.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind. So let's say, Diane gives me her phone number, says, you know, "I spoke with Betty and she said, you know, she'd love to talk to you. Here's her number." Is the approach any different under the supernova approach any different from how I typically would do it, which is to give this lady a call? And, you know, normally that's a pretty easy phone call to make, and it goes very well if, you know, you've already gotten the green light from that person.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious, you know, is there a right way to do it in your mind?
So in this example, Diane has given you a person's name, giving you the phone number, and the person is expecting your call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ms. Jones, this is Rob Schaefer from Morgan Stanley. Diane suggested that I give you a call. Do you have a few minutes to talk? Well, sure, I'd be happy to. Well, and then you go, let me tell you a little bit about what I do. From that point on, it's you, your service model, and what you do for clients, and your goal. What is your goal from that call?
Typically, I try and get them. I try and learn what's going on with them, what they're looking for, what's important to them, a little bit and then share a little bit of value enough to go ahead and get them to agree to a meeting if it appears to be worth having a meeting.
Okay. Now, let me give you a question that I think is a great conversation starter.
Okay.
No matter whether it's over the phone or face-to-face. So you call this lady, you introduce yourself. Now, here's the question. If I could solve only one financial issue for you today, what would it be?
That's a good one.
It is. If I could solve only one financial issue for you today, what would it be? Now, think of where that conversation can go, Abraham. Well, now that you mention it, I am we've got a special needs grandchild. I'm really concerned about him being able to, what, you know, you see where I'm going. Or I'm really concerned.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really concerned about,
sure,
being able to retire, stay in retirement. But see, you're getting down to a heart issue. You're solving a problem. And what they're doing, and I know I told you this earlier in Supernova, anytime you talk to a prospect about what you do, they're filtering through that through what they're getting right now.
For sure.
So you have probably asked a more important question of that person you've been referred to than their present advisor has ever asked them.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Ms. Jones, I'm following up on a conversation that you had with Diane. Do you have a few minutes? I'd like to get to know you a little bit better. Well, sure, Abraham. And you ask them some questions, and you say, well, let me just, to kind of get the thought process going, if I could only solve one financial issue for you today, what would it be?
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
It's a really simple question. It's a great question. You sit down with a prospect, you know, face to face for the first time, and they're sizing you up, and you're sizing them up, and instead of trying to be the smartest stock picker in
sure,
the world or
sure.
manager picker, whatever,
right?
You get down to what's important. Bill, if I could only solve one financial issue for you today, what would it be?
Let me ask you. You know, I also got another referral to a guy from a very enthusiastic.
Let me just finish. And you don't say, don't say problem. Problem sounds like something that's where their hair's on fire.
Sure, sure.
It's an issue. Okay, go ahead. You started to talk about
I got another referral to a guy named Billy from a client of mine who's become a real raving fan because he's been very much involved in the Supernova process now or benefiting from my new client service model for several months. I spoke with the guy. He was expecting my call. It wasn't a good time to talk. He's a small business owner. Said he was going to call me back. Of course, he never did. I called him a couple more times, left a few messages, and, you know, eventually when he didn't call, I've kind of decided to leave him alone for a bit, not forever. What's a good way to handle a person like that?
And he was a referral?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he was expecting my call. He was a referral. My client is telling him a bunch of good things about him.
Owners really need you. They're busy, as you know. Here's what I would do. I would go back to the person who referred you.
I did. That's what I was going to tell you.
And I'd say I know that Billy is really busy. We talked for a brief second. He said he would call me back. I know he's busy. He hasn't. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him?
Well, the referring client is such a fan of mine, he's been on me about it. So I'm sure he's also been on Billy about it. You know, have you talked to Billy yet? How's it going with Billy? You know, what's going on with Billy? Every time we speak, he brings it up. So
well,
I'm sure he's, you know, on Billy about it, too. And Billy may just be too busy right now.
Yeah, and Billy may not want, you know, feel like he's getting pushed by who's
right,
referring.
Right,
I would ask the same question, Abraham,
okay,
of the person who referred. We're having trouble connecting. I know he's busy. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him?
Okay.
And then let your friend set something up.
Yeah, all right. That makes good sense. I appreciate it.
Let me make a point going back to something that you asked me about the agenda, you know, what it was going to look like, you know, over these monthly calls.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about a couple of what always happens in these next 9 months is going back and reinforcing things that people remember, I remember that, but didn't really get after it. They just They've just forgotten it. We talked about this question, you know, if you were me, not that one, about how would you go about getting in front of them. We had that conversation. So there's a lot of value in going back and strengthening what you've done in the first 12 weeks. So the referrals, when somebody gives you a referral, you thank them, and the next thing out of your mouth is terrific. I'd love to talk with them. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them?
That's great.
You get a great way to start a conversation after you've made the small talk with a prospect is, if I could only solve one financial issue for you today, what would it be?
Got it.
All right. So when did you get the referral to the business owner?
Well, I'll tell you. With me for a second. I got the referral to the business owner on September 12th.
Okay, so it's been 2 months. When's the last time you talked to the referral source?
I talked to him on yesterday.
He asked
our
about
monthly,
Billy?
Our month, he actually did not ask about Billy.
I'd proactively go back to him, and I'd go back to would it be appropriate for you to go back to him today, to talk to him today?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I'd just go back and say, you know, I thought about the referral. You mentioned Billy. As I mentioned, I've tried to get in touch with him. I know he's busy. If you if you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him?
Okay.
He might say, darn it, I'm going to give him a call and set up a time to have lunch or whatever.
And what about Carol and Bill, who I spoke to about Diane on Friday? Call Diane, ask her the same question.
Did she give you the referral on Friday?
She said she was going to talk to them over the weekend.
Yeah. What I don't want you to – I want you to be confident but not overly anxious.
Okay.
I would when's your next scheduled call with her?
My next scheduled call with her is she picked the fourth Thursday of the month, which happens to fall on Thanksgiving, so we need to figure out what we're going to do about that. But theoretically, it would be the fourth Thursday of the month.
Yeah, I would probably wait to the what is today? Today's Tuesday. I'd probably wait till Thursday.
Okay.
Go back to her and say I'm just following up on some things from last week. You were going to talk to some friends. I just wondered if you were able to have that conversation.
Okay.
Just kind of put it in the context.
Okay.
I'm just kind of looking. I'm just kind of following. I'm following up on some things from last week. Know you were going to. You know, that's what I would do there.
Mm-hmm.
If you had told me we've got our next meeting is next Tuesday, I would say just ask her on Tuesday. But
okay.
Have one until a month from later. I'd go back Thursday or Friday. All right?
Makes sense. Okay, terrific.
Okay. Part of your homework was to get your practice overview approved by compliance. Were you able to do
that? What's the practice overview?
That's the thing you put together that is
the one pager?
Basic beliefs on it. Clients can expect what we expect of clients.
Oh yeah, that was done months ago.
But it was what I understood you to say last month is it hadn't been approved yet.
Really?
By compliance.
Well, I'll follow up with Anthony on that because I had thought it was that had been done. I thought that had been done quite some time ago.
Well, again, I may have misunderstood you, but as I'm looking at my notes from last month, homework, practice overview approved.
Okay.
So, 'cause what I want you to
I mean, I'm using it, so.
Yeah, I want you to use it, but here's, I don't know if I've gone over this with you. You got a couple more minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Here's the way I want you to use it is with clients. I want you to, and stop me, I think I've told you this, but stop me if you've already got it. With your clients, you say, I've made some refinements to my practice. In that process, I've put together an overview of my practice. I want you to have it for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, if I ever disappoint you, I would appreciate a call so I can address the issue. Secondly, if you ever have the opportunity, if you run across someone that you think would fit in my practice, I would like for you to be able to specifically describe what I do. You remember
that?
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
You can't be given this. I don't want you to get in compliance jail here. Just make sure it's
okay.
All right? And, you know, with prospects, it's the same thing. You sit down with a prospect, you're getting ready to leave. Just wanted to give you an overview of my practice so that you know up front what it's going to look like if you decide to become a client.
Well,
your centers of influence, and we'll go over that next month. You give them your centers of influence, and just for the same sort of thought process, you've been very kind to refer some people to me. Some of them have become really good clients, as you know. What I wanted you to do is I've made some refinements to my practice. Just wanted you to be able to specifically talk about my practice if you ever have the opportunity to refer somebody to me in the future. And all you're doing here is you're just keeping that in their mind. Clients forget that they wake up every day looking for a way to give you a referral. This is a way to kind of shake the cage a little bit.
I gotcha.
All right.
All right.
All right. We'll talk. We'll talk next month. Gosh, that'll be December. Is that hard to imagine or what?
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Years gone by in a hurry. Good to talk with you.
Do you have just a quick second, Rob?
Sure do.
You know, since you brought it up, you're absolutely right. I mean, the complete change in how I feel about my practice and the work that I do for my clients has been in a relatively short period of time has been phenomenal. And I started this process at a point where I was not 100% confident in the quality of the work that I was doing and really in the quality of the client experience I was delivering is a better way to say it. And since then, you know, in a short period of time, I've gone to the point where now I know, you know, to the bottom of my soul that I'm doing great work for people, and also that what I'm doing is head and shoulders above what 95% of my peers are doing. So I really want to acknowledge and thank you for your leadership and your guidance and helping to show me the way. So thank you very much for what you're doing for us.
Well, you're kind to say that.
That's true, and
really,
I feel great about it.
Pardon?
Every word is true, and I feel great about it, and I feel great to acknowledge you and the work you've done to help me get to this point and continue in the process.
Well, that's a recognition of value. Just to tell you, I eat my own cooking. This is a point where I'd say thank you for saying that. Is there anybody else who you think would appreciate this? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm reinforcing that. When you get a compliment, that's recognition of value. Abraham, that's really nice of you to say. We work really hard to keep this fresh, and I think what allows us to – we do our best work when a client is involved and committed. You and I just, had 45 minutes go by very quickly. I thought it went by very quickly, but because we were talking about specific things. We could talk about Diane's referral. We could talk about the referral to Billy. When you can when you have a client involved like you are, you're talking about real life situations, which is always more effective and learned longer than hypotheticals. So you've made this easy. I'll be honest with you. I've got another call at the top of the hour, and this guy is never prepared. He's seldom on time, and frankly, he's not getting out of it what he can get out of it. So
right.
You remember Sparky Anderson?
He managed
the Cincinnati Reds for a long time when they won two consecutive world championships. Again, did the same for Detroit. But they asked old Sparky one day, they said, Sparky, what makes a great manager? And he said, great players.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what we're talking about here. You've gotten a lot out of it because you've put a lot into it. I appreciate you. I appreciate you saying that.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a wonderful day.
You deserve referrals. There are people out there who would love to be part of your practice.
That's absolutely true.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.